where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And we have Amber Valdez on the show today. She was a former cheerleader and TV personality and is now a life purpose cheerleader and a huge fan of affirmations and sticky note affirmations in particular. Her best-selling book on Amazon was all about affirmations as well, and that's what she's going to be talking to us about today. Hello, my love, and welcome.
Hello, welcome. Thank you for having me. Honored and blessed and grateful to be here sharing space with you and your tribe today. So thank you.
Oh, gratitude. It's so beautiful, isn't it? So I'm like honestly so excited to talk to you about affirmations because, do you know, when I split up with my ex-partner in 2014, I remember being in my new house and just feeling like I didn't know who I was. I didn't feel like I had a lot of self-worth or my connection to my own self-worth in that time because I got so much from him. And I was like, where did that go? I didn't even realize. And I remember writing down, I found it just recently, an affirmation that I'd written that was like, I bring value to people I spend time with. And for me, that was like borderline true. You know, I was like, I need to work on believing this. I can see it. I can tell myself that this is true. So I know it's like there, but it wasn't something that was deep in my core that I believed in. And now, thankfully, it's like beautifully a part of who I am. And I get that now, although I'm working on like, I bring value just for being me rather than having to do anything. I'm working on that part still. But that affirmation and repeating it constantly was so like transformational for me. So where did you first like have your big moment with affirmation or find affirmations at all?
Thank you for asking. Yes, the experience that stands out to me the most would have been when I was 19 years old. I was in a metaphysical bookshop in Seattle, Washington, and a book literally fell off the shelf and like landed right in front of me, almost like someone or something pushed it off. And it was You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And that book since then has, to say it's changed my life would be an understatement. I actually purchased that book 11 times. I've given it to countless ex-boyfriends and friends and family and clients. And I've bought it multiple times myself because I just keep giving it away. And Louise Hay, in my mind, is like all things affirmations. And that book just simply confirmed everything I believed, which is if you think about something long enough and you talk about it long enough, you can create it. And I always knew that I was powerful, and I always knew that the words I spoke was powerful. And people would always say, God, you're so good at manifesting things. Like things just happen for you. And it really just got me in the conversation of being very responsible and mindful of the words that came out of my mouth and the thoughts I thought. So I would say that. And then, you know, affirmations were something I've always played with. And I would think I was around, I don't know, early 30s. I'm 38 now. And
you're looking really good for 38, just so you know.
Bless your heart. So people would come to my house and I would literally have sticky notes, sticky affirmations, which for those of you tuning in via video, you can see I have them all over my office, my car, my clients' cars, as a really fun way to play with your inner child and also manifest. And we'll get into that later in the broadcast, I'm sure. But people would come to my home and they would see these sticky affirmations on my wall, like in my refrigerator. reminding myself, you know, everything from I love myself or I'm abundant or, you know, great new friends come to me or whatever it was that I was playing with. And at the time I was really playing with the law of attraction with the teachings of Esther and Abraham Hicks. And I wanted to play with abundance and I was already doing really well financially, but I wanted to play with it some more. And I also recognized that the people around me, the friendships I had created in Hollywood were very uninspiring and, oh, sorry about that. And Romeo, no. And that I wanted to draw in more like-minded individuals. And so literally one thing after another started coming true of what was written on the stickies. And believe it or not, I wrote on a sticky note, I have my own show on television. And not too long later, I was cast for a show called Beverly Hills Nannies on ABC Family, where I was the one of the nannies and the stars of the show. And that's when I learned you got to be real specific about what you say. I got a TV show, but I wasn't the host of it. And I wasn't talking obviously about the content I wanted. So yeah, affirmations for me have been really awesome. I'm so excited to share it with the world and let people know if it's possible for me, it's possible for them.
So thank you for sharing that. I feel like as I said, I had like powerful experiences with affirmations in the past. And then I've kind of realized that for me, affirmations, I feel like they need to be somewhat true before I can even say them. Wow. So, but like this is my personal experience. And I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. When I say, like, if I said, I have 1 million people listening to the podcast every week, which would be awesome. Happy to let that in. And isn't true at the moment, but everyone who's listening, feel free to share so more people will listen. I feel like for me to be able to say that, I need to do some work on that around like maybe vibrationally it is actually true. So, you know, I just would love to hear your thoughts on like what can you affirm and what are like some key energetics or like precursors to be like, I have 1 million people who are listening to my podcast every week.
Beautiful. So, yes, I'm really glad you shared that because that's something that many of my clients are indeed up against is that, you know, you're telling me I have a brand new home, but yes, I don't have a new home. I'm homeless. I'm living in my car, whatever. I mean, I don't have any clients currently living in the car, but where I'm going with that, I totally get that. And what I find fascinating about affirmations is that we can't just sit in a room and say like, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire, I'm a millionaire and not be in any sort of action around it. And so I can give a specific example of when I first started streaming on live stream on Periscope. I wrote an affirmation down that says, I am 10,000 followers. I am 10,000 family, Perry family followers. And I let it go. I surrendered it. And I just got into the action, the divine clear action, where I got a psychic hit in one of my meditations about doing this thing called a Perry train, which is a live broadcast that essentially one person starts on Periscope and then you send all your followers to go watch the next person and so on. And then it's called like a Perry train. And I got a hit in my meditation, in my Kundalini meditation practice to do a Perry train. I was like, really, God? I was like, okay. And I kept getting it and I did it. And that day I went from 700 followers to 8,000 followers within one day.
Wow.
And was within 10,000 followers within a couple days. And it was so interesting is that affirmation I wrote down with clear intention, I surrendered, I went into action, universe brought it to me much more quickly than I had written. I'd actually wrote, I am 10,000 followers by June 21st. And I wasn't attached to the how. I just let it go. And I was able to manifest it quickly because I released the resistance to it. And I was very focused on maintaining a high vibrating frequency of joy. And I truly believe from the space of joy, everything's manifested. So if you're angry and you're frustrated and you're like, no, my soulmate comes to me now. My soulmate comes to me now. And you're in this like resistance and anger and frustration around it. You're not going to draw on your soulmate unless your soulmate is going to be someone that's in that same frequency. And so that's why I have a primary focus in my coaching practice and my programs is to support individuals in becoming the best, most happiest, joyful version of themselves. And then from that space of gratitude. So the precursor, I would say, to affirmations is getting yourself in a space of gratitude. Because from a space of gratitude, you raise your vibration. And from that joy vibration, that is when you can manifest beautifully. Mm. But the universe doesn't give handouts to victims. And the universe doesn't give handouts if your focus is on lack thereof. And so instead of jumping from, you know, I am 1 million followers, which your heart feels like that's bullshit, right? That's a lie. Like that's not even, that's, I'm lying to myself, which often people think. And I want all of you viewers to recognize that more oftentimes than not, people don't believe their affirmations when they're saying them, right? Like anything, habits are formed and they're created by practice and routine. And so instead of going from I'm zero people on my podcast to a million, what if you stepped into new committed loyal followers, listeners come to me now, right? I attract amazing new viewers to my podcast. Like, or I am, you know, 10,000 viewers on my podcast, or I am 100,000, something that's not so such a big gap that you can slowly start to say, like, I am worthy of 10,000, you know, followers. And maybe then next week you're like, I'm worthy of 15,000 followers, or the perfect people find are led to my podcast with ease, or I release the resistance to, you know, the right people finding my podcast, or my podcast touched thousands of lives. And you stay in that vibration as you almost get like your courage up. You can like level up with your affirmations. So you're not in such a big gap of like, this is bullshit story, but just so the more you say it, the easier and more rapidly it will come, because thoughts are just thoughts and thoughts can be changed. And habits are created and programming is created. So it's really focusing on, I would say, the worthiness of, like, what's behind your fear around if 1 million people were listening to this broadcast right now, what's it really about, right? Like, there's a worthiness conversation of, like, I'm only worthy of telling, like, 10,000 people, but a million people, I'd have to be someone else, or I would have to be more articulate, or the lighting would have to be better, whatever the story is, right? So focusing on, okay, what part about me doesn't believe I'm worthy of a million followers? And that's why I liked what you said. You said, I feel like I still have more work to do. But the process of believing you're worthy through the act of affirmations is in itself a practice, yes?
Yeah, I really like that. You talked, like, there was so much in there that I almost don't even know how to say anything back to it, which is good.
Girl, but just interrupt me, girl. I'll just go.
Yeah, you know, it's pretty hard to stump me, actually, because I'm usually like, yeah. No, that was really good. And I feel like, do you know what? I'm just going to roll with where I'm feeling I want to go. I feel like for me, it's not worthiness, and like it can be, but for me, it's like just a belief that it's like it feels, and this is great because I can see that I've got work around it, right? But it feels like it's just far away. Like it's possible, it's just further away than right now. Does that make sense? So I like what you said about like the statements that feel true in between. I love Abraham Hicks shares like a 17-second game in one of their books, how it's like, if you can't believe the I have 1 million followers part, then you could say, I have people who listen to me and tell me how great it is every week. And then I have more people sign up every week. And you just continue, you hold that thought, that energy for 17 seconds, and then the next 17 seconds, the like next big thing that you can believe, and then the next 17 seconds. And I love that game. I feel like it's really good. And by the end, you can get to, well, I know I can get to, if I did this, I could get to like, I have a million people that listen to the podcast, because vibrationally, by the time that I finish that, I will feel that I have those million people listening to the podcast in the, infinite field of potential in that space. Yeah,
it's like little mini pep ups, you know, like it's like you're cheering yourself on, like you can do it, you know, 1 foot, okay, you can do 1.5 feet, okay, and then little by little you gain that confidence, you gain that momentum, you raise that vibration, and by that time you're like, I can jump 1,000 feet, you know.
I love it. I'm invincible.
Oh, I'm an Olympic athlete. Yeah, it's pretty cool how the mind works, right?
And it really, I'm actually, do you know, without meaning to, I just looked up at my whiteboard and I saw what if anything was possible. Like they're the words that came out from my whiteboard. It's full. And I really feel that that is so true. Like if we believe something is possible, it is possible. It's like our limitations truly are only in our mind. Have you seen the movie Split? It came out recently.
My boyfriend asked me to go see that last night. And I was like, I'm not really feeling action. Let's go see something really dramatic.
I think you would like it, actually. It's very, it is like more thriller, but it the whole premise of the film is like what you believe you are is what you actually are.
That's my dream. Yeah. That's what I'm all about. I do believe everything is possible. Mm. And so many times in my life, people are like, how does she do that? Like, from leaving the NFL, you know, to again, like literally, my Periscope going from 700 followers to like 20, like, you know, 10,000 in a day or a day and a half. And then like, you know, trending again and going to over 20,000. It's like, this is possible. Like just speak it into existence and you let it go and trust that the how is not your jam. The how is the universe's plan. You just action and trust and surrender. And the less you obsess about it, the faster it will come. Really.
Yeah.
Focused on being in a high vibrating frequency and
allow. You know? So what you said there, the less you obsess about it, the faster it will come. I've noticed that in manifesting, like in life in general, there seems to be these like paradoxes, or is it paradox? Like it feels like, is there a different word for the plural of that? But there's a paradox in a lot of different concepts like this where they say you need to focus on the energy of it, and then they say that you need to like kind of let it go and just surrender it. And I've worked out in my head and in my own manifestation practice how that feels for me. But like for the listeners, I would love to know, what's your, like, if they're going, okay, you tell us to focus on it and then you tell us to let it go, and so like, how do you fix that? You know, there's so many things like that in personal development, so I'd love to hear your thoughts on that one.
Cool. I'm gonna give you an example about this experience that I manifested unknowingly. My best friends wrote the short film. It got, you know, entered into a film festival in France. Next thing you know, we got invited to go to Cannes. I was a producer on it. I'm like, let's go. We're like five girls living in this 5-bedroom house in Hollywood, clearly not in a space where we can afford a trip to France. How are we going to go? And I was like, I'm going. I don't care how I'm going. I'm figuring it out. Right? Clear, dominating. I'm going to Cannes. I'm going to Cannes. I'm going to Cannes. Everyone I talk to, I'm going to France. I'm going. Y'all bought your ticket net? Nope. But I am. It's happening. Right? Long story short, my mom out of nowhere ends up saying, hey, I'll pay for your ticket. Like, you never got a senior trip. And I'm like, what? Like, this was like something that I would never imagine my mom would ever think of doing up until then. I didn't ask her. She offered. And I was like, whoa. So that was cool. So every day during, there was a song on the radio from the Black Eyed Peas called I'm a Bee. I don't know. I'm a Bee. I'm a Bee. I'm a Bee. I don't remember that song. It's very popular in the U.S.
Yeah.
And I basically used to be like a rapper, and I was rapping about, I'm going to be up in Cannes, do whatever I like. I'm going to be popping champagne. And I would like make up this song and I would sing it in my car, because that song was on the radio like every second of every day. And I would sing it, and my roommates would sing it, and we'd sing it, and we were just like visualizing being in Cannes and dancing and drinking champagne on yachts. And like, I had this whole crazy like vision, but I was in such a joy vibration. Well, fast forward to, we're in France. We end up getting into this party that God knows how I worked my way in this party. It was Naomi Campbell's birthday party. She was a big model at the time. And guess who was the performing artist of the party?
Wow.
Not only Black Eyed Peas, the performing guest, but I ended up getting into a dance-off with them. And we end up running around Cannes with them all night. Me, my best friend, and the Black Eyed Peas, not Fergie, the boys, literally went from party to party, from villa to villa, to club to club, and just had the time of our life. Again, had no idea the Black Eyed Peas were going to be in France. Little did I know that I was manifesting it, but I drew the Black Eyed Peas into my space. And from a space of being in joy and happy and singing about Cannes, I manifested them into my space. So I did not declare that I'd be with the peas, but I was vibrating at a high frequency, and I drew them into me. Mm. So what I'm trying to share from this space is that we are manifesting all the time, whether we want to believe it or not, whether we're intentional or unintentional, the vibration of joy from that space, whatever you're doing, saying, thinking, expressing from that high vibrating frequency is going to come to you. Mm. So when they speak about speak it into existence, let go, in the sense that when I wrote down I'm 10,000 followers on a sticky note, it happened, but I was in action. I wasn't in from a space of, I need 10,000 followers. I need 10,000 followers, which is like the obsession. Like, I'm going to die. Mm. You guys know that guilty, really dark, heavy, desperate vibration of, I'm 10,000 followers. I'm 10,000 followers. That vibration is not going to get you the 10,000 followers, right? Mm. So everybody knows what we're talking about when you're in that low vibrating frequency of desperation. That's not intentional focus. Mm. Intentional focus is, let me wake up and meditate, right? Let me write in my journal what I'm committed to. Let me get in a really blissful space and then write down everything I'm grateful for. Raise my vibration. And then perhaps then in that moment, I speak my affirmations into existence. Maybe I am a million followers, right? Maybe from the space of being in your car and singing your favorite song and changing the words to, I'm a new Lamborghini, if that's something you really want, right? But like, how about playing with it and recognizing that what you keep talking about, you're going to manifest. So wanted or unwanted. Mm. And so that's why for me, affirmations are fun. They're like this fun, playful way of like writing on bright colored paper and putting them out to the world with a clear focus intention and then kind of letting go. But coming back to it, but not from a like, please, God, let me follower.
How have you not seen this before? I wrote it on the sticky note and everything.
Yeah. Why? Compulsive. Like, I know one of my clients, she's auditioning for a lot of orchestras around the world, and she says she's constantly refreshing her email to see if they emailed her. I'm like, okay, no. No. That is obsessive. So the obsessive energy is what? Needy energy, which is scarcity, which is lack, right? Yeah. So that's the vibration we get to jump on, that train, right? Yeah. So if you're feeling some type of way and you're trying to create something, stop thinking about it, stop talking about it, and maybe just start focusing on feeling good. And then once you get yourself to a feeling good space, then come back to like your manifesting and speaking about what you want.
Yeah, my manifesting is super powerful if all I do really is focus on my feeling state, because your feeling state, in my interpretation of it, is like your feeling state is how you set your intention. Like the words I am blah is great, but it's the feeling inside of your body of being, I am someone who has a million people follow me. That feeling in your body is actually what sets the intention and has the universe go, oh, okay, let's give her that.
It's almost like this tingly. And like, if you've seen the movie Peter Pan, I mean, we saw it when we were kids, think a happy thought. I mean, it's just think a happy thought, make another happy thought, and just focus on that. And
is that how they tell them they can fly? Is it think a happy thought? That's so cool. I didn't even remember that. Think a happy thought and your vibration rises, which like they used as a metaphor that you fly.
Yeah. And everything is possible. I mean, in a world where like they created whatever they want. But yeah, just think a happy thought.
I like it. I like it so much.
Fly when they tried. You know, like, I need to fly, you know, that wasn't working. So it's like, think about Peter Pan, watch Peter Pan and just think a happy thought and ride that high flying frequency and you'll be surprised, right? I tell my clients all the time not to do, sorry, really quick, don't do affirmations when you're feeling like shit. Please don't, because it's just a waste of your time. You get to, like you said, get into that really good, happy, yummy place. Or when you're really happy, singing a really awesome song, when you're having fun, then start rattling off your
just have them, yeah, like next to the car somewhere, so as you're pumping tunes and just having a great time, you're like, oh good, this is a great time. So sometimes I do my morning routine and I feel like God at the end of it, and my belief is that we are all divine in nature anyway, so that's amazing. I feel like me at the end of it. And then other times it's like I'm pushing through, like I'm like, this morning routine, it's sometimes if I push through and just hold that, I can get out of the other side and feel amazing because I've got all these things in there that I know make me feel amazing by the end. And sometimes I get halfway through or to the end of it and I'm like, just start again, because all I was doing was like piling stuff on top of like pretending that I'm okay and I'm actually not. And there's something I needed to have a look at first. Like, I can't just be like, I feel so good today, when you actually don't. Like, you have to be real with yourself.
Yes.
What do you do when that comes up for you?
Well, it's funny because today I had a hard time with my practice. I'm doing like a 40-day sadhana, and it's chanting and meditation, yoga. And today I was just like, when I was singing the I Am song, which is this beautiful song that usually has me feeling like God and sometimes teary and just like, I love the world. I love people. I love humanity. I'm so grateful for my human experience. And I'm like in this like really beautiful, like loving, like state today. I was just like, my brain was just going, like, it was just, you do this and your client and that. And in that moment, I just chose, okay, I can keep forcing through this, or I can just surrender to, I'm going to be easy on myself and say, I chanted, I meditated, I stretched a little, and now I get to just go on with my day, and I get to let myself off the hook of how having to look that I finished it all the way through and that this and this, this and that, and just recognize that like my spirit and my body is like, is needs to just be, you know. I chose to cook breakfast and you know, get Sandro his Valentine's Day present and just like, you know, trust in being in the flow, and instead of forcing this to like look the way I wanted it to look, I just become gentle with myself. And I think the biggest step is doing it and then going, okay, I'm not going to keep doing this if it doesn't feel good. And that's okay too.
Yeah, I really like that. Just doing it in the first place. Like, if you wake up, you don't really feel like it, that's okay. Just go to wherever the space is that you usually do it. Start it, try a little bit. And then if it doesn't work, at least you did it. I do that all the time to convince myself to go to yoga because I love it so much once I'm there, but I have massive resistance to like a whole hour and a half or whatever. And just like, it's tricky for me still. And so I tell myself, if you go and in 10 minutes you don't like it, you can leave again. Obviously I never do, but I tell myself that so that I get there. Yeah. So just begin. Yeah.
Just begin and don't be, you know, and I said prayer, I, you know, sometimes it doesn't have to look the same way that we, and we're humans, right? We're constantly evolving and changing, and we get to just like trust that our morning routine will evolve. And at least we show up and we show up in the best we could be, and we're easing on ourselves. And some days it's going to look a little different than it did the day before. But like you said, give yourself permission. If you want to leave, you're committed, just go. And today I'm committed to the sadhana and I started it and I just was just not feeling it. I was like, body is telling me to continue on with my day. And I did. And
so yeah.
And got what
In December, my pug passed away and it was like my son passed away. It was so devastating and still I miss his physical presence. And when I was talking with one of my spiritual mentors, I was like, I can't meditate since then. Like, it had been, I think it took me about 2 weeks to be able to go into meditation. And she told me that his spirit actually didn't want me to meditate for that time because it was too painful and too raw. And he knew he had to leave then, but he didn't feel like I needed to like push myself into feeling that pain in that moment straight away. And then by the time I did go into meditation, I was able to like connect with myself and it was beautiful. And she said that we need to trust in divine timing. Like, sometimes it wasn't the best thing for us to do this meditation. And I think that is probably one of the best pieces of advice I've gotten in terms of like, I just remind myself of this over and over, and the universe reminds me of it over and over, that my joy is always greater if I stop just resisting what is. So if I wake up one day and I don't feel good, just like let myself not feel good. And then I find in that surrender, I end up feeling better than if I'm like, no, you must feel 100% every single day. And I think especially as light workers, like you and I and most of the people who are listening, we're like this huge kind of pressure, because we know that our vibration makes such a difference to the world. We're like, I must feel good for all of humanity. And that's freaking tough. So I think like divine timing and trusting in, if we feel crappy, it's for a reason, is just like, oh, it just feels like relief and joy to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like today, slight mini beat up of not streaming, you know, and then when I don't live stream, I'm like, people are like, where are you? You know, like, it's like I'm their crack, you know, and where are you? And I'm like, it's self-care day. I got my nails done today. I wanted to love on myself on the Lover's Day. I thought, okay, like love on me today. Like that's the best part about loving others, is really truly loving on yourself, you know? Love yourself, you will love on yourself. So yeah, I get the pressure. And some days if I wake up sick, I'm like, I don't have time to be sick. Like I have people's lives to change and inspire. Like, what are they going to do without me? Whoa, is me, light worker problems.
I love that you say that, because if I wake up sick, I'm like, yes, a day off. It's the opposite. Oh my gosh.
Reminding ourselves it's okay. And I came down with a little bug not too long ago, and I just said, you know what, you're allowed. Okay, it's okay to take a day off. And I think us as entrepreneurs and light workers, we don't feel like we can ever really have a day off. But when our body says it's time, we must honor that.
Do you know, just what came up for me then is that as light workers, it feels like my work doesn't ever end. So if you worked at a retail store, for example, when I used to work in like a clothing store, I would finish my work and I was done. And it was so good. Like there was no responsibilities, no pressure. And my life was my own in there. And then now as a light worker, sometimes I feel like my life is constantly work. And then, oh, wow. And then what else is coming up in that is that our work is actually joy, though. Our work is not something that's meant to be hard. Our work is play and joy and expansion that feels blissful, but we just kind of make it a bit hard sometimes.
It's so funny you say that, because the other day I posted on my Facebook, I'm going to change the words to the song work, 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 to change the world, 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 because I don't feel ever like my work is work. Like I get excited to work. I get excited to like come up with streaming ideas and get on scope and, you know, all of this stuff. It's like, it doesn't ever feel like work, and I don't ever want to stop because it's really fun. And I get high when my clients win, and I get high when I see like the world winning and people happy. And it's like, yes, 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 more, 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 more. But then we get to realize, light worker, you are human. You must be a human. You must get rest. You must, you know, chill. But I think it's really beautiful when we get to a place that we feel like our work isn't work. It's just living life.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. All right. Back to affirmations. Oh my gosh. So let me think. So if you feel like you're beating yourself up, perhaps, and you can't get to the affirmations, and I know we've talked about like just be gentle. That's okay. For the people who are listening and they feel like they maybe don't even know how to get into that joy space though, sometimes listen to a song in the car and dance to it. What other tips do you have on how they actually get to joy?
Thank you for asking this. This is a big one that many of my students in my Turn Your Crazy Into Your Purpose bootcamp struggle with. They struggle with not feeling good about themselves or situations of the world. And they're like, being happy seems so far away. I truly believe the fastest way to get out of your shit. Am I allowed to say shit on your show?
Yeah.
The fastest way to get out of your stuff is to do something, to be in service or to be in gratitude. Because on my hard days, if I'm fighting with my partner, or, you know, family stuff is coming up and triggering me, or whatever is going, life's happening. Mm-hmm. The fastest way for me to shift out of my woe is me low vibration is to be in service to my clients or to pop on scope. I remember a time not too long ago, I was struggling, not struggling, but I was feeling scarcity. Excuse me. And the fastest way, I chose to just take the day to write like 20 thank you cards to like current clients, past clients, and just really love on them and just pour into acknowledging them for their greatness and their service, or their, who they are in the world and what they've, you know, them trusting me to love on them and support them in their journey is doing for me, is done. And just complete gratitude. Mm-hmm. And literally within days, I think I signed like 3 new clients for 6 months. And so I really truly feel like the fastest way to get out of your stuff is to be in service, to go do something for someone. Because when you're truly doing something for someone else, you can't feel like shit. You can't be self-consumed. And it's that whole focus out mentality. When in doubt, focus out. So, you know, write a letter to your high school teacher and thanking them, you know, go to your neighbor and, you know, or go to a shelter and like walk a dog, or, you know, just get out of yourself for a moment and realize that life is not really about us. And when we make it about us, we suffer. And if we shift that focus into being, doing something different for the world, or maybe writing on someone's Facebook page, like pick 5 people and just acknowledge them and thank them, you are going to raise your vibration. And in addition to, you can sit down and write down what you're grateful for. The fastest way to get out of self-pity and depression is to really be grateful. And, you know, going to Africa this past year and really witnessing, you know, beings that have less than guaranteed everyone listening to this podcast, because if you're listening, you either have a phone or a computer, which most of us not. Which most of the world does not have running water or electricity, and going to a space and seeing these individuals with literally physically nothing or close to it, being more happy and full of more joy than I've ever witnessed and more gratitude that I've ever witnessed, really shifted things into perspective that us in the modern world, most of us have so much to be grateful for. We have shoes, we have jackets, you know, most of us have lights, and we have the access to running, clean drinking water. And really, if you really get over yourself and realize like the problems we are creating are so, so silly, and we really do get to get back to the basics. Like at the end of the day, we have water. Like we're not going, you know, walking 2 to 3 miles a day to get feces infested water, and hours of our day spending toting water back and forth and bringing water home that's just going to get us sick and our family sick because it's not clean. So I really think that gratitude and sitting in the moment, and literally if you have to be grateful for the sun or the water, and really little tiny, tiny things, you know, my car, because in remembering there's someone out there praying right now in this moment for what you have. Whether it be freedom or a phone or enough money to pay their cell phone bill or money to go buy groceries. You know, I've been in that space. My family grew up on welfare, and, you know, there were times where we had to go to food banks for food. I mean, those are like real problems. And I think so many of us get so far removed from like really the basic necessities, which is, you know, food and water and love, and we can create that. And so I think, listeners, from getting yourself from where you are to where you want to be, take some time and write down everything you're grateful for, and I guarantee you, you'll shift yourself very quickly. And also recognize that if you just focus on doing something for someone else, it's going to shift you as well. And give the more we receive, and when we give to others, it creates joy within us, and we actually see joy in others. It's a win-win for all. So, affirmation really quick for everybody is just, I love myself and I approve of myself, and everything is working for me. This isn't happening to me, this is happening for me, and really realizing that everything's perfect. The breakdowns, the drama, the being released from your job, or broken up, or losing your pug, it's all a part of divine timing and perfection, and it's the resistance to the acceptance that causes the pain. And if we just look at life as lessons, just get to the root of what's my lesson, what's my lesson, and you'll realize that life gets less dramatic and less serious when you just realize that it's just a big fat game that you created.
One of my mentors, she said to me once, if it was meant to be different, it would be. And that was profound, really profound. That was after my pug passed and I was like, okay, I get it. Still shit, but I do get it. Allows you to really release.
Yeah, I used to say the same thing. Like, you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. Like, it's all perfect.
Yeah.
It's the human mind that's like the why, and why did you do this, and why did you do that? And there is no reason to ask a why, because it's just because it's perfect, because it is.
That actually, now that you're talking about that, that actually is one of the best things that has ever brought me back into a state of joy, is just remembering that the universe has got me, that I don't have to figure it all out. I don't have to do or be anything special, because I am the universe. Like, I am already divine, and everything is always conspiring for my greatness. Like, if something challenges me, then at some point it becomes something that I get to share with other people that brings value into the world. So it's always this like beautiful ebb and flow, and just like surrendering to that really helps to raise my vibration and self-compassion. Like, just letting myself off the hook. Like, I'm not the only one here that's like sharing light in the world, and it's okay, you know, and I can just go back to loving me. Like, you went and got your nails done and your hair done today. Like, if all else fails and you don't know how to like give to everyone else, or you can't even find what you like, gratitude list, honestly, just, you can start with like, I've got clean, fresh running water. But you can also go to like, how can I just love me in this moment? That I think is really helpful as well.
Yeah, it takes practice to not shift into the victim. You know, we all want to, our default, and that's why I focus so much on rewiring our thoughts, is that for so long we focus on what's wrong, you know, from the way we were raised, or even in, you know, as little kids, they're like comparing us to other people, like always like, you could have done this and you should have done that. Why? It's always, not always, but for me as a child, it was always really focused on what you're doing wrong. So many people are seeing the world through that lens that their parents and their environment created, to look for what's wrong instead of looking for what's right. And if you look at everything as divine and perfect and say, God, this isn't about me, this has nothing to do with me, everything's happening for me, but it really has nothing to do with me, it's all a part of the perfect plan, then you really release this pressure you put on yourself that you and only you have what it takes to figure it out. You know, and a good one I use with my angels is like, I surrender the situation to you. I'm sick of thinking about it, handle it, intervene on my behalf. And I always like think about my angels like going, oh God, Amber, are you just going to give us permission? Because I truly believe that angels and spirit guides work off of free will, and they can't intervene unless we're in danger. So if they're literally sitting in the wings bored trying to figure it out, and you're sitting over here racking your brain like, how am I going to pay my rent? It's like, just ask them to handle it. And then let them in, because they can't intervene so many times. And I think another powerful analogy is, if you look at, you know, problems or things not going your way, the way you want them to, if you look at them as a detour sign, like as a roadblock, and you, if you're driving down the road and people are like, roadblock, a detour. And many people look at that as like an inconvenience. But if we look at that roadblock and that detour, like, what is really truly the purpose of that roadblock, that sign, that warning cone, that flashing light? It's to protect us from what's on the other side. If we would drive our car over it or walk over that bridge, we could fall, we could kill ourselves, we could pop our tire, we could literally damage our car ourselves. That detour is literally protection. And that is, in my opinion, the universe's way of literally guiding you onto the right and more divine path. And if we just looked at that detour as not of, oh my God, it's making me late for work, is, oh, is this is a blessing and preventing me from being hurt or damaging myself or others, I'm going to lovingly just go over here, and who knows who I'm going to meet on the way. And it's all, detours are literally, I feel like, little bumpers of the universe just putting you on the right path. Like, this person dies, this person leaves, this person moves, you know, you have a fight here, or this doesn't work out. There's always something better conspiring for you, but it's the resistance to the change and the roadblock and our story of what that is that causes the anguish and the disappointment and the irritation. And I think it's just remembering that this is for me, this is a blessing, rejection is protection, and there's something bigger on the other side. And I'm not going to dwell on the detour. I'm just going to look at the trees on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just like I said before, what if anything was possible? I feel like with this one, it's like, what if everything was a blessing? And I love the what if, because it's such an expansive question. So I always like, that's one of my favorite games to play. Is like, what if this was conspiring for my pious purpose or for more joy in my life? What if? And then it allows you to really just explore what if and to like find the best, juiciest answer to that.
What if everything's happening for us and everything is a blessing? And so a game I like to play with my clients is when they're having resistance to change or they're having a frustration with accepting something painful or irritating or an inconvenience and they don't understand it. Like, why didn't I get that job? Why didn't I book that role? Why did he leave me? Whatever the why game. If you're asking a why game, you know it's an ego, right? And it's a fear-based conversation, which is always a great tool because there's no, I believe why is just kind of like a waste. I think it's more fun to play the what if, like what if this was divine timing and what if this was working for me? And so a way that you can rewire your brain to trust that is to write down three things in your life that you had resistance to or felt pain from or had a hard time accepting and how they panned out. And I have many, as I'm sure you do, from breakup to jobs we didn't get to, you know, it all was divine timing and it was all perfect. And even though it was so painful in the moment, I think about my boyfriend before that, you know, my current partner, and, you know, he was a sex addict and he was a cheater and he, you know, there was a lot of pain and I didn't feel worthy. And I played that game with him because of where I was at in my life, but it was pre my really loud transformation work. But I thank God, I do a little sticky, like, thank God that didn't work out. Like, thank God blank didn't work out. And I have my clients fill in the blanks to go, oh yeah, I didn't get into Yale. I got into X school and I met my husband. If I would have gotten into Yale, I wouldn't have met this person, right? And if I would have stayed with that person, I wouldn't be with this person. If I didn't have that breakdown and blow that audition, I wouldn't be here with you guys now. I wouldn't be a life coach. I wouldn't be changing, inspiring a million people to live their purpose. So if I didn't suffer severe heartache from that boyfriend and didn't, you know, not make that job, I wouldn't be here. So thank God I got my heart broken. And thank God that that job didn't work out, right?
Yeah.
Here I am now. But that was pain. Hey, it sucked and it was painful. But it was necessary and it was perfect and I would do it again.
Yeah.
Because I'm living right here, right now is far greater it's worth the pain.
My former partner, when I was with him, I thought I was going to be with him forever. And when it didn't work out, I was heartbroken, felt like my foundations came out from underneath me. And I am so grateful for that experience because it makes it that was the point where I like started to have a connection with the divine and just, I don't know, like realize that I can pull myself back up from any kind of situation. So many lessons that I could not have gotten any other way. And a year or two later, I did exactly what you're talking about now, that journaling where you look back and you're like, oh, wow, this was perfect because blah and blah and blah. And when you do that, I get my clients to do that as well. When you do that process on the first thing that kind of was like the biggest thing I reckon that went wrong, then when the next thing happens or the next thing, you can go, hang on a sec, that was really bad that time and now it's better. And so when my dad passed away last year and then my dog passed away, I was like, okay, wait a sec. We know it can be bad and we know it can get even better and somehow work out to look like it was all on purpose. So just trust that. Like, cry as much as you want to and just trust in this moment. So Yeah, I love that exercise. I invite everyone who is listening to do that exercise and maybe even just like find us on Facebook, facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara, and let us know in the podcast with Amber and my face on it. Let us know what came out of that exercise. I would love to know your experience of that. Amber, before we head off, I want to ask you one more question.
Yes.
I heard you say before, I am 10,000 followers instead of I have 10,000 followers. And I feel like that's a key part of affirmations. Can you tell us about the wording of that?
Wow. You know, I am is, you know, so many people have a story around why they think it's so powerful, but I just feel like I am, we are. Oh, I'm seeing a really cool spirit guide. This is really awesome. I think it's probably your dad. I was going to talk about your dad really before we started. And now there's like a, I sometimes see like shapes. I know it sounds funny, but sometimes I see like little shapes and like, there's definitely a man who's like floating over the computer now.
Wow.
So that's pretty cool because I have a little bit of a medium. But anyway, I lost my father as well. And what I wanted to say to you, which I'm just going to say, and you can cut this or not cut this, is that I lost my father as well a few years ago. And what I realized, as painful as it was and as bad as it sucks, and it still sucks and I still miss him like crazy in the physical form, I recognize that our fathers can do more for us now that they're on that side than they could do for us here. And it's almost better this way. It's different, but what I want you to know is that they have magic over there. And things will start to get even more incredible for you. And ever since my father passed, like, my life has like taken off in terms of like my career and just my life. And so I just want to share with you and everyone listening that you guys get to know, it's hard for us to wrap our brain around the third dimension space we live in, but in these other dimensions, it's really cool what they can do, how they want to play and how they want to take part and join in and what we're creating. And so, you know, your dad is with you always, of course, in your heart, but he's also with you in the physical, spiritual realm. And he just, don't be surprised if things just like evolve, because I think they like love it. I think they get to go over there and like, whee, you know,
it happens so much, with my pug, like definitively life got better. Like the external world, obviously for a couple of months, I didn't feel better, but when he passed, life just started to work out. Like my podcast started to reach more people instantly, even though I stopped podcasting for like a little while there. It was just, it's so interesting. And my, one of my spiritual mentors actually told me that he left then because it was always in our soul contract, and he left so that he could guide me better from over there, because he was a pug before and now he's a spirit guide and he can do everything. And he's like an angel, you know? So yeah, I totally, yeah. So hard for us to see it sometimes from our limited perspective, but everything is divinely timed and so perfect for us.
Yeah. So anyway, I had to tell you because something, you know, is hanging out with us. And I'm like, oh, I moved. That's cool. So when I'm on to something, they'll be like, I'm excused. And they'll like kind of slide. So I stared into him and then he just moved away.
Yeah. So, that's cool.
He's still here, but he's dancing now. So he's like, she sees me. Also, Heather Waxman, during her chanting and her meditation, I kept saying her spirit guides, like every single time I would watch her YouTube like chants, they would pop up, and I was like, girl, Mother Mary is showing up for her a lot. Anyway, I'm going on a tangent, but
so I am in affirmations.
Yeah, so I am for me reminds us that we are and we create, and I am, I am, I am. And it's powerful in the sense that you take leadership and ownership and everything, instead of I have is a possession, but I am is an owning and an ownership in a sense that I'm aligned with everything and everyone in my life. You know, I am the universe, the universe is me, I am God, God is me. And it's that whole, like, I am, we are. And so I feel like it releases the resistance to needing to gain something and just all its honesty, if that makes any sense. So for me, yeah. I think I am is like, I really have a huge focus on the language with my clients. Like, I will, I have to, I get to, I'll try, you know, I want, it's, I am. And from that very powerful space of ownership, you know, I have a million followers, I have a million listeners, because they're you and you are them and you're all one. Manifested in physical form in different ways. So, yeah, I don't know. I just really like saying I am.
I really like it as well. My manifestation practice is really identity based. Like, if you move into based on quantum physics, there's all these like different possibilities that are out there. And if you move into the version of you that lives in that possibility that has what you already desired, like they've already got it out there in the future at some point. And so if you like shift your identity to being aligned with that version of you, that's how it happens effortlessly. So I am, and there would be like this version of me that has 100,000, but it's like, I am that already. And that is so much more powerful than like, yeah, I need to get it from somewhere else to be that. I already am that. It's really,
yeah, cool. It's all within us. It's already there. It's already happening. It's already happened. Other dimensions know no time or space. There's no time. There's no beginning or end. It's just what is, and it's just constant. So if you are, then you are. You are what you say you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that I am is just reconfirming that everything you need is already currently within you, and you are it now because you say so.
Yeah. So. I love that. Thank you so much, Amber. And of course, they have no understanding of time or space because my dad decided to pop up while we're doing a podcast. Jesus.
What?
Oh, dads. So, my love, thank you for this podcast. I'm so grateful. It's been really fun to talk to you. Can you tell the listeners how they can find out more about you and like, how do they find you online, basically?
Beautiful. So thank you so much for having me. I feel very, again, honored, and I'm excited to get to know you better. And I just feel like this is the beginning of a great friendship. So yes, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. It's been really beautiful to be able to serve and thrive. And, they can find me at lifepurposecheerleader.com, lifepurposecheerleader.com. I'm a life purpose cheerleader who's inspiring a million people to own their worth and live their purpose. So, life purpose cheerleader is what I be. Growing up a cheerleader and recognizing that we're all here for a divine life purpose, I want to remind people that it only takes one person to believe in your dream, and that's you. And sometimes you need another, and that's where I come in. So I would love to support them any way I can, whether it be through coaching or programs or just inspirational memes and videos that I put out. On live stream is my jam. I'm on Periscope very frequently. I offer just inspirational content on the reg, you know, very personal things that I'm going through, and also just, you know, practical coaching and techniques. And my handle at Periscope is at Amber Valdez, which is the same as my Twitter, Amber Valdez. And of course, I would love for you to join the tribe of a million plus individuals living their purpose. And you can do that at Life Purpose Cheerleader on Facebook, and of course at lifepurposecheerleader.com. So I'm just inspired to make sure that you guys know you matter and you're worthy and your purpose matters. So anytime you want to tag me at and post your beautiful stickies and play with your inner child and play with manifestation and working on yourself, it doesn't have to be so freaking serious. And we get to play and have fun. And that's what we're here to do. So you can tag # sticky affirmations on any of your posts on social media. And I like to share those individuals out and promote what you're up to and co-create and co-manifest with you. So anything I can do to support you guys, I'm here. So just reach out and let me know.
Thank you so much, gorgeous woman. I really appreciate all that you've shared. And I love the way that you've shared your truth, like no filter. All of my guests are amazing like that. Like, I am real. I am living this human experience, and still I am remembering that I am divine at the same time. So good. Thank you, gorgeous. And thank you, everyone, for listening. If you've enjoyed this podcast, I would really like to invite you to head over to iTunes to give us a 5-star review and tell people why you love the podcast so that others can see that it's valuable. And so then the more of those reviews that you do, the more awesome guests that I get to have on the show. So please just like lift everyone up as you do it. That would be awesome. And you can head over, as I said before, to facebook.com/aninspiredlifewithkiara. And you can tell Amber and I what happened for you when you did that exercise. Or did you hear or see spirit guides while you were listening to this? Like, just tell us whatever you want to tell us about, about listening to this podcast. That would be awesome. And please, as I said before, if you've heard something on here today that has made you go, oh yes, like yes, I needed to hear that today, or oh, that's what I've been missing in my manifestation practice, if something has been of value to you today, please share this out on your own social media so that someone that you love or who follows you can also have that experience of being touched by what they've heard, what you've heard here today, and what they will need to hear as well. Thank you so much. And I look forward to chatting with you all again next week. Thanks, Amber.
Bye.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.